On Thursday's front page, BP decided, days before the oil rig blew up in the Gulf, to use a cheaper and riskier method of sealing it off. That made gas leaks more likely. Several strains of deadly E. coli bacteria have gone overlooked. They're no less dangerous than the one everybody knows about. And another sign of voter frustration with politics as usual, California could get rid of traditional primaries. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says BP decided on the riskier of two ways of sealing off the oil well in the Gulf. This was days before it blew up. Internal BP documents say the company chose the cheaper alternative, but the documents indicate that if cement around the casing didn't seal properly, gases could leak all the way to the wellhead. Investigators blame leaks for the explosion. On Wednesday, BP started what's known as a top kill, force-feeding heavy drilling fluids into the well in hopes of plugging the leak. That's never been tried 5,000 feet underwater. BP says it won't know whether it worked for several days. Public enemy number one for the food industry and government regulators has long been a particular strain of E. coli bacteria. Times reporter William Newman says six other strains of toxic E. coli have largely been ignored. They're now emerging as serious threats. Last month, romaine lettuce tainted with one strain sickened at least 26 people in five states, including three teenagers who suffered kidney failure. China's land rush often shortchanges individual rights. Last year, policymakers proposed rules to compensate people who are evicted to make way for construction projects. Now, one Beijing developer is racing to demolish a neighborhood before the rules take effect. But about 600 homeowners are refusing to move until they get the fair deal they expect under the new rules. Another indication of voter frustration with politics. Next month, California voters will decide whether to replace traditional primaries with a two-step voting process. The top two finishers would face each other in the general election, regardless of party affiliation. That means two Republicans could be on the ballot or two Democrats. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado are for it. Political parties hate it. The Super Bowl will be played in the New York area in 2014. Thursday's front page says, "Be careful what you wish for." In December 1995, the Giants played the San Diego Chargers and fans started throwing snowballs. The head referee stopped the game in the fourth quarter, but not soon enough. The Chargers' equipment manager was knocked unconscious. Thursday's front page also looks at Larry King and CNN. Next week, he'll begin his 25th year on CNN. He's a throwback to an earlier time on cable, and Times reporter Brian Stelter says his ratings are only about half what they were just 18 months ago.
There's a couple reasons I see why Larry seems to be losing his audience, especially so suddenly. One is that the show seems inconsistent, at least compared to, say, the Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC or Sean Hannity's show on Fox. Those shows are consistent in that they have a point of view you know you're going to see every night, and they talk about political issues you've come to expect. But on Larry King Live, you could have a story about a sex scandal one night and then the oil spill the next night. There's a real inconsistency, and cable news viewers seem to really value that consistency now.
That's Times reporter Brian Stelter, who's in Los Angeles. CNN won't say whether it's going to renew King's contract next year. Katie Couric has been mentioned as a possible replacement if she decides to leave the CBS Evening News. King's own first choice for a successor is entertainer Ryan Seacrest. Inside Thursday's Times, the manhunt for gang leader Christopher Koch continues in Jamaica. The police conducted house-to-house searches for him earlier in the week. That turned into a four-day siege that left nearly 50 people dead. Parts of Kingston are expected to remain under a state of emergency for a month. Koch is wanted in this country on gun and drug charges. Iran and Russia are quarreling over Moscow's support for new sanctions. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad lashed out at Russia for going along with the other permanent members of the UN Security Council. The proposed sanctions would punish Iranian banks, along with other countries that offer nuclear-related technology to Iran. Thursday's Business Day section says Wall Street is calling the end of one era and the beginning of another. Apple passed Microsoft to become the world's most valuable technology company. Apple is now worth about $3 billion more than Microsoft. Only one U.S. company is worth more than that. That's ExxonMobil. Its market capitalization is about $56 billion more than Apple's. Facebook is simplifying its privacy controls. Revised settings will make it easier for users to determine how much personal data is publicly accessible on the web. Facebook says that with one click, you can decide whether to share things with your Facebook friends or with everyone. The new settings will apply retroactively to everything users have ever posted on Facebook. From 1952 to 1969, millions of television viewers tuned into CBS in the afternoons for a show called House Party with a longtime radio and television personality named Art Linkletter. Every day at the end, he'd interview children, and he had a way of asking just the right question to make their parents wish television had never been invented.
Carolyn, what do you want to be?
A movie star.
Now, how do they start a day out, do you suppose? What is the first thing a movie star does?
Has a movie star breakfast, then it goes in a movie star car, then it has a movie star lunch, then it goes to a movie star studio, then it drives home in a movie star car, then it goes to bed with another movie star.
Linkletter's signature phrase was, "Kids say the darndest things." He wrote a best-selling book with that title and later another one. Art Linkletter died on Wednesday. He was 97. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron.